I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die." Say, all die. All die. Something was passed on to all of us. None of us are exempt from it. We'll talk about that. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." Now, look over in that same chapter down to verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." There was a beginning and there was an ending. There was a first and there was a last. Jesus was called in this passage the last Adam. Now let's talk about what he means when he says, because of the first Adam, sin has passed on to all of us. What I want you to understand is we are in need of a Savior, not because of anything we have done, but because of what we are. You say, "Well, Glenn, I do bad things. I've done some bad things." Yeah, but you do bad things because of what you are. It's what you are that has to be corrected. That's why we are made a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Amen? So it's never going to work to just try to control what you do until what you are is changed. Amen? Does that kind of make sense? So he says, as in Adam, all die. Adam was the very beginning of the human race. And what happened to Adam has been passed on to all of us. Adam basically betrayed God, Adam and Eve. They had a covenant with God. The Bible says God walked with them in the garden. He met with them. They were friends. They were close. And he gave them a wonderful new beginning. God gave the world the perfect start. He gave us a perfect world with no sin, no one was fallen, no sickness, no disease, immortality. I mean, it's called Eden. It's everything. If you were to describe to me, the most wonderful thing you could ever imagine, it would be Eden. If you could describe what you would desire for a perfect world, we've already had it. God started us out that way. A lot of people get kind of crossways, sideways with God because they look at the shape the world is in and they want to blame God for it. That God didn't do this. We did this. God gave us a good start. We're the ones that messed it up, right? Now, I want to use an illustration because I think this is something we might could all relate to, but any of you ever had a virus on your computer? Had to get it fixed, repaired, whatever? Like malware and adware and whatever it's all called. This stuff, you know, when you're on the internet and you visit different websites and they can now send that stuff because you're uploading and downloading, so you have it. It's a two-way street. The internet is a two-way pipe. Things flow two ways, right? It doesn't just flow one way. It flows two ways. And so they can send things. That's why you have to be very careful. But they can send things to your computer, and it gets on your computer, and then it starts to cause all kind of problems. And then your computer becomes, they use the term, your computer becomes infected. Your computer now has a virus. You've heard that term? So your computer has a virus. Now they make programs, you may have used one, that will search your computer. And it'll run through, you can watch it while it's searching, and it'll run through all the files on your computer. It'll go through everything, and it's looking, and it's looking, and it's looking for this virus, for this malware, for this adware. It's searching, and finally, when the whole thing is through, it might get done and say something like, 3 corrupted files were found, 3 bad things, and do you want to delete those things? This is exactly what we're dealing with here in humanity. When Adam fell, he allowed a virus. He allowed something from the enemy to get into the collective of mankind. We're all connected to one another. We're all descended from Adam. You didn't come from anywhere else, right? That's where you came from. So it don't matter what color you are, don't matter how you look, what shape you are, what part of the world you're from, everything can be traced back to that one place where mankind had its beginning. And that's how we all started. You know, they have this new DNA technology where they can kind of tell you who your ancestors were, and you can do a little blood sample in DNA, and you can find out all about your past and what people are finding out? I saw an African-American celebrity, and I can't remember her name, but she was shocked because she did that, and she was shocked because she had so much European descent in her that she never knew. And what we're finding out is we're all very connected, right? Right, which means we really need to love each other more, right? So we're all connected to one another. Well, we're all connected to Adam. Well, Adam had this virus. Now, I believe, I've taught this, and I believe this because if you go to Romans chapter 5, you'll find out that Adam was a type of Christ. He was a representation of Jesus. And the Bible also says that when Adam was not deceived, the Bible says Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived by Satan to do something that God had told them not to do, and that was to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which she did. And when she did, I believe Adam looked at Eve with horror. And I believe he looked at her basically saying, "Honey, what did you do? What did you do? Tell me you didn't do that." And in that moment, Eve was so separated. She was so cut off from everything that is God. She was lost. She was just in another, it just cut off. And the Bible says Adam wasn't deceived. He knew full well what was going on. So why did he eat of the tree? Why would he eat of it? He didn't eat it because he was fooled or tricked or deceived. But it says he took it and he ate too. But he did it with his eyes open. He knew full well what he was doing. I want you to think about something. There was only one way Adam could save Eve. Bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. The only way to save Eve was to go where she was. It's the only way. Otherwise, if Adam doesn't do that, Adam is the head of humanity. If Adam doesn't do that, Eve is cut off. She's gone. But he took of that fruit, I believe, to go where Eve was, and because he was covenant or partnered with her. In other words, Jesus was the fulfillment of that type or that shadow, because Adam did this wonderful thing because he loved Eve. He went to where she was. What did Jesus do? He came to where we were. Why? Because what Adam did, because of his love for Eve, and now the first couple on earth are infected. They have a virus. Well, guess what? They did what couples do. They had children. Now the children have the virus. Right? The children are infected. I don't mean that in a way that, I'm just saying we're fallen. And they had kids, and they had kids, and they had kids. And the Bible teaches that it has fallen upon all of humanity. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it becomes our condition is we are in a condition because all of humanity is in this state. There are people who will say, "Well, Glenn, I've never done bad things. You talk about bad people. We need to come to Jesus, but I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person." It's not about whether we're good or bad. That's not what this is about. You got to understand, for example, let's use our computer analogy. You're in an office with a company and the adware or whatever gets in the company computer system. And someone comes to you and says, "We got to take your computer and clean it." Well, I haven't done anything with my computer. My computer, yeah, but you're on the system. You're on the network. Everybody's connected. It doesn't matter whether you did anything or went to this site or did that. You're infected. We've got to go through the whole system now. See, that's where we're at in humanity. We've all been touched by this. Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want, it's the, what the Word of God teaches. For all have sinned, all have fallen. We are in that condition. Now, what do we do about it? If we can come to the point where we understand, this is where we're at. This is where we're at. Which meant, what happened? Adam and Eve got cast out of the garden. They lost their place. So now they're separated from God. We're separated from God. There's a wall between us and God. A wall of separation, the Bible calls it. Well, what do I do about it? I love God. I want to know more about God. I want to live eternally. I want all of those things. I feel like this little peon living on the planet, and we're cut off from a creator that we know is out there. What do you do about it? There's no way to get over the wall. There's no way to get through the wall. That's what, do y'all understand that's what religion is? Religion is man's effort to try to get over the wall or through the wall and try to get to God. That's what religion is. There are religions all over the world trying to get to God. Well, if we do this, if we do that, if we pay this price, and none of that works. The Bible says it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no amount of self-effort. Well, I go to church, or I pay my tithes, or I do this. That's great, but that won't get you over the wall. It won't. You're still separated from God. But Glenn, I've been doing great things, man. I'm awesome. That's not your problem. You've got a virus. You're infected. It's been passed on to all of us. The only way we could be saved was for God to do it. Because we couldn't go to Him. He's going to have to come to us. Will He do that? Well, the beautiful thing is, before He ever created Adam, He knew He would do it. The Bible says the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world were laid. When He breathed life into Adam, He knew He'd die for it. That's pretty cool. He knew that. He already planned for it. But it was going to be the only way to save us. And that's why that baby was born in Bethlehem. That's why Jesus and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's why Jesus came to our planet. And He came in two ways. I want you to listen to this because this is important. He came as God and He came as man. He was fully God. He had to be. But He was also fully man. And He had to be fully man for one reason. Here's our problem now. We have this virus, right? We're cut off from God. But there's another problem. God has decreed that the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, because of the breaking of the covenant, you have to die. There's a penalty. Not only are we infected and can't fix ourselves, can't repair our systems, the other problem is we've broken a law. And there's a price and penalty to pay. And we're condemned to death. The only way to fix that was for a man to fully meet the covenant and the demands of God. And He did that. The Bible says Jesus lived a perfect life. There's a verse that says, where Jesus says, guys, my time is short. Satan is coming, but he has found no place in me. There's nothing in me, man. I'm clean. That's good to know. Now, that's something you and I couldn't do. Amen? Come on, church. We couldn't. I mean, we just couldn't. Even on our best day. You know what the Word of God says about your righteousness? Y'all know. You've heard me say it a million times. Your righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Not your sins. Your righteousness. On your best day. At your best, with your Sunday suit on and all cleaned up and at church, you're a filthy rag. That ought to make you feel good about yourself. That's just our humanity. We're fallen beings. There's no way that I can fix this. But Jesus lived that perfect life, and he was righteous and holy in every way, and he kept the law of God and he perfected the. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. And I need to fulfill it because that helps you. I need to perfect it. So he perfected the law. He fulfilled the law. He kept the law. And he met that demand of God, and that demand was met. Amen. So that part of it is good. Now, there's still another problem, the problem of the death penalty. The demands of God has been met as far as the law has been kept, but there's still a price that has to be paid. And God is looking at all of us and saying, this is really good. The wages of sin is death, and you're going to have to die for what you've done. There's no way around it. God's a just God. I told my class Wednesday night, I know as a parent I've done this, and I'm guessing most of you parents in the room have done this. There's been times when I gave my kids a pass. You know, as parents, we're not always as consistent as we ought to be. We make rules. Have you ever made rules and then wished you hadn't made that rule? I wished I hadn't made that rule. Because as a parent, you put yourself in a corner. You know, now I've made the rule. Now I've got to, you know. But there have been times, I know you've done it because I've done it. There's been times when you just kind of look the other way. You were tired. Maybe you just didn't feel like dealing with it that day and you just let it slide. Right? We've all done it. And the kids are wondering, why did I get away with that? It's because mom's tired. Dad's wore out. They just don't feel like dealing with it today. And so that's what happens. But God's not like that. God can't sweep something under the rug. God can't just let it go. God just can't ignore it. His justice and holiness won't allow it. It has to be dealt with. So here we are, lost and condemned to die on death row. What happens? That's where this lamb. John said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And here's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that the Lamb of God was the substitutionary lamb for all of us. In the Old Testament, priests would lay their hands on the lamb as an act of transferring all the sins of Israel to that lamb. All of our sins. All of our sins in this room were transferred to the Lamb of God. Jesus took my sin to the cross. He took my stuff, my junk, my garbage, my filth. He took it to the cross. I'm the one that did it. I'm the one with the virus. But he took it all to the cross. He paid the price. And that's why he had to die. There had to be a death. God demanded it. And because of his justice and holiness, he, as much as he would want to, as much as he, you know, he just could not look, he could not just ignore it. So Jesus had to die. There's no choice. And here's the other thing. Nobody else's death would have mattered. Peter could have stood up and said, you're not dying for me. I'll do the dying. And Jesus would have said, I love you, Simon, but your death won't help us here. Amen? Jesus had to die. Because why? Because he was the perfect Lamb of God. The perfect sacrifice. So that when he died, that penalty was paid. And the Bible says that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a new creation. The Bible, he talked to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus had this same trouble. Lord, I don't understand. How does a man enter the kingdom of God? He said, Nicodemus, you have to change what you are. You're a teacher of Israel. I can't believe you don't know these things. You can't just start acting another way or start attending this class or going to this thing or that. That's not going to make you better. He said, Nicodemus, you're going to have to be born again. You've got to be made something that you're not. Nicodemus, in all of his wisdom, says, well, Lord, born again? How can a man re-enter his mother's womb? I love it. I tell you, I'm on this thing right now where thinking like God and thinking like men, we've got to quit thinking like men. You see it. I'm seeing it so much in the Word of God. Here's Nicodemus thinking like a man. How can a man be born again? Who gets that do-over? And Jesus said, no, No, Nicodemus. And he said this, Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is flesh is ruined. What did the scripture we read say? It said he was the last Adam. Do y'all get that? There are no more. He ended it. Why did he end it? Because it's corrupt. It's no good. The line of humanity has a virus in it. He ended it. He ended it. That's why he has us being what? Born again. He's creating a whole new race of spiritual beings birthed into the kingdom of God. Think about that. Born again. A new creation. That's what the verse means when he says, depart from me, for I don't know you. And in the Greek, it literally means, you don't exist to me. Why don't you exist? Because you're still in Adam. You're not in Christ. You're still in that old, you know, that's why it's so important to be born again. He said, so how can I re-enter my mother's womb? Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh. If you could re-enter your mother's womb and do it again, you wouldn't be any better. Right? How many of y'all have walked out of church services and said, I'm going to be better this week. I'm going to be a prayer warrior this week. I'm going to fast. I'm going to be the most awesome Christian you've ever seen this week. And by what? Monday or Tuesday? Doesn't take long. For me, usually, I used to get saved like every Sunday, mostly Sunday nights in our church. Sunday night was always the big kind of service, you know. And I used to get saved every Sunday night. And I tell people, I hold the record for being saved. Nobody's been saved more than me. Because I thought I was lost all the time. And you gave an altar call, I was there. Right? And I'd get saved on Sunday night. And usually I was lost, or in my mind, I was lost before I got home from church. Because I'd done something. I could never... I remember one church service, you know, I remember one church, we had an evangelist. I still remember his name, Dallas Plemons. And he was preaching, and I was kind of, how you kind of zone in and out, and I was kind of zoned out a little bit. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the service, he says, wait a minute, the Lord's showing me something. I see a dead body, and I looked up. And he said, and he's got red hair. And the next thing I knew, I was at the altar. Oh God, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to hell. And I looked up, and everybody with red hair was around the altar praying. But I was just in that mode of never understanding what it means to really be saved. And Nicodemus, if you could redo it and redo it and redo it, you'd never get it right. You must be born of the Spirit. God wants to change who you are, what you are. Born of the flesh, but he makes you born of the Spirit. You become a new creature in Christ, a new creation. All things are passed away and all things are made new. Oh, glory. That's why Jesus had to die. It's simple. That's why Jesus had to die. We were broken and we couldn't fix ourselves. And we still can't. In this world today, folks, this hasn't changed. It doesn't matter if we're in 2017. This is still the condition. We need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. Oh, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. No wonder the angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus came and he had to die. That first Adam, what a picture. He's living in Eden, eating fruit. Man, he's living it up. He's in paradise. The last Adam is hanging on a cross, torn to pieces, dying for the sins of the world. What a contrast. The first and the last. Why is the last? Why is that picture so ugly? Because the first messed it up. And it went through all of us. It went through all of us. Like a network. But the blood of Jesus. And you know what the law, you know I told you about, I'm going to close. You know I told you about the software that finds, you know, that runs the test and goes through your system. And then it comes up and says, we found three problems. That's the law. That's what the law does. The law runs through the computer system and finds all, and it tells you all the things that's wrong. And then you say, okay, law, do something about it. And it says, oh, I can't. I can't. The Bible says what the law could not do, the blood of Jesus did. What the law could not do, the blood of Jesus removed that virus. Amen. Amen. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? The virus is gone. You're not infected anymore. It's gone. You're free. All of your sin. The Bible says he has cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered against you no more. They're done. Gone. Clean. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.